Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Matt Alagaya. With the constant onslaught of US election news, now is as good a time as any to drown out the noise and get lost in a good novel. Joining me on the show today is Charmaine Lovegrove, co-founder of Dialogue Scouts and literary editor for Elle magazine, who has three books in front of her that just might do the trick. Charmaine, welcome to the programme. Tell us first of all about your first book, The Atomic Weight of Love by Elizabeth J. Church.
This is a book that I was handed by a editor at Fourth Estate and just completely fell in love with. I think to start with, you know, just books that are about sort of women's lives and journeys over time is always endlessly fascinating, and there's so much that we can learn from. So in The Atomic Weight of Love, we meet Meredyn Wallace, who is from a really kind of lower middle class family, and she gets really into ornithology from like a really young age, and she's just like super bright and whip smart. And she goes to university in Chicago, where she then meets Aidan Wheatstone, who is an older physicist who is sort of 20 years her senior, and they fall in love through the sort of poetics of physics. And it's a really interesting journey into their kind of courtship and the decision that Meredyn makes about whether or not she should be dating him at all, or whether or not she should be dating someone her own age. So Alden suggests that she goes with him to Palo Alto and to work on, so he's going to work on a big experiment and she should go with him, which would mean giving up her studies. And she decides to follow her heart and she gives up her studies and she follows him. And whilst there, he basically starts working on the atomic bomb without her knowledge. And she is just kind of, as many women are in that World War II, the post-war period, trapped by the confines of marriage and womanhood in that during that time. And so she decides to leave him and then meets somebody else and basically kind of embarks on a PhD and a new life. And, you know, she's just like incredibly passionate, but also stunted by sort of these relationships because she hasn't been allowed to grow. And that's the journey that we kind of follow her on.
I mean, this is set over several decades, right up until the 1970s. So it starts in the 40s and goes up to the 70s. It takes us through such a revolutionary period in American and Western history. Does the book provide a good potted history of how attitudes changed in America?
Yeah, absolutely. There's the kind of youth culture that we are aware of, and also just how, you know, you really see it through her herself. You know, she, you know, essentially explains to us sort of the expectations of women through her. You see it through her frustrations in her daily life, and you sort of see what she's missing out on and the world in which is sort of surrounding her. And the 70s is like obviously really all these sort of countercultures, and people are coming back from Vietnam, and there's lots of protests, and there's a lot of freedom and love, and she can never quite get into it. And she's sort of, through her sort of observations of the time and the period, and her kind of asking herself questions about what she's doing and how she's living, then that's how you kind of feel the pressure of the sort of duality of culture and her being pulled in sort of two directions.
And just a note on the author now. I mean, Elizabeth J. Church, this is another fantastic debut novel by a female writer in America. We seem to see a lot of them at the moment. Who is Elizabeth J. Church, and should we be keeping an eye on her for future work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hadn't really heard of her before, so I don't really know much about her as a person, but I didn't really feel as though it was a debut. I felt as though it's like lyricism is so masterfully handled, and I felt like it's, you know, it's a really great accomplished work of literature, and I felt as though it was from a much sort of older, more seasoned voice, and I didn't at any point feel that I was reading a debut. I mean, I think I've got a thing at the moment of like, since the whole kind of Ferrante debacle, of not taking writers like much more on their work and not really sort of thinking so much about exactly who they are or where they come from, and just trying to really allow their work to speak for themselves. But I think that she obviously has like great feminist undertones, and she's Elizabeth J. Church is obviously really interested in the plight of women and the plight of love, and these themes through like a really excellent literary tone is like a pleasure. It was a pleasure to read.
The Atomic Weight of Love by Elizabeth J. Church is out now, published by Fourth Estate and Algonquin Books. Our second book today is called The Dark Flood Rises, the 20th novel by Margaret Drabble. This is a musing on old age and follows the character of Fran, who is determined to live life to the full, no matter how old she is, sometimes to the disapproval of her loved ones. What sort of things are we talking about here that Fran gets up to, Charmaine?
Well, she drinks and she smokes and she drives and she has loads of opinions and, you know, she just lives the life exactly how she wants to. It's sort of no holds barred with her, and she doesn't really think that her age should get in the way of her life. But at the same time, she's kind of musing on the people around her who are aging and who are dying, and the way in which they're choosing to live their final journey.
And Drabble's writing is normally quite witty. Is this also an entertaining read? I mean, it sounds like a much more sober topic.
Yeah, but Fran is, you know, she's so resolute in being herself that she is just quite witty. And sometimes she's so sort of stubborn that adds this wit. There is this undertone of something that's quite serious. She has a son called Christopher, and his girlfriend dies quite suddenly in Lanzarote while she's filming a documentary. And there is a real kind of sadness to a young life that hasn't yet been fully led. And there's a lot of very serious conversations. Like, everybody in the book is very sort of middle class and very sort of learned. And there is that aspect of it as well. You know, they're really into history and culture, and they're really into wines and foods, and Fran herself doesn't take life so seriously. So then you kind of get this two-tone of a kind of quite a serious musing on life, and then you get a much more sort of witty, lighter tone as Fran romps through her world and tries to kind of keep it as contained as she can, so that she doesn't have to succumb to the perils of old age.
And Fran is clearly the protagonist here, but Drabble herself has been praised for the sort of the supporting cast of characters in this book. Who else do we meet sort of along the way?
So there's Bennett, who is a historian who lives in Lanzarote, and he's incredibly learned and sort of really likes the sound of his own voice and has these sort of long soliloquies about history and culture, which I actually found really interesting to learn about Spanish history. And then there's Claude, who's her ex-husband. And Claude is kind of bedridden, and she brings him what she calls plated meals every day. And she kind of doesn't understand how she's got into this situation where someone she divorced quite a long time ago is now the man that she's sort of looking after. And he has a black housemaid that comes, and, you know, he likes to sort of give her a cuddle in bed. I mean, it's just like so strange sometimes, like the scenarios, but then they sort of feel so real. You can imagine that if you were a lonely old man and all you had to look forward to was a glass of claret and a plated meal from Fran, then you would also try and seduce your housemaid from your bed. Oh, and there's Josephine as well, who is her sort of best friend. And Josephine's chosen to live in Cambridge in a faux nouveau old house and in a residential old people's home. And it's a bit of a strange setup. And Fran is so frustrated with Josephine because she doesn't understand why she's chosen to become old before her time. So this kind of cacophony of characters kind of add different hues to Fran's journey, which is really, really interesting.
The Dark Flood Rises by Margaret Drabble is out now, published by Canongate. The final book on our list today, Himself by Jess Kidd, takes us to the west coast of Ireland, where we meet Mahony. He's returned to his birth town to discover why his mother abandoned him as a baby. Charmaine, let's begin at the beginning of this book, which sounds like it has quite a harrowing opening. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it is a really dark book, but also, I mean, it's so strange on so many different levels, and it's so haunting and so mesmerizing, and just in this, because you're totally in this world, and once you start from the opening, then you can't give it up. You know, it's a real kind of page turner. So we meet 26-year-old Mahony, and essentially he is going to find his mother in a village, and all he has of the village of her birth, which is where he believes that he's from, and he was brought up in an orphanage, and all he has of his mother is a photograph, and on the back he has a note that sort of suggests that he was taken from her. So he returns to this town, and it's just this like really bizarre, dark, quite dank sounding place on Ireland's west coast, to kind of find out what exactly happened to him and his mother. And so he arrives in this village, and basically no one's ever left, and they're really sort of suspicious of him. And I just love how Jess Kidd writes, you know, I was so kind of afraid and haunted and wanted to protect Mahoney, but at the same time it was like I knew he was finding his home. Like, you know, he seemed really familiar to people, and in some way people seemed really familiar to him, but everyone's in awe of him and afraid of him at the same time. And I think that the way that she's able to kind of get some humour into this quite dark, creeping story is sort of really interesting as well. And the overlay of like suspicion and also curiosity.
You mentioned there that she's quite good at building suspense. Jess Kidd's doing something quite interesting here as well when it comes to genre. I mean, there's a bit of magical realism in here. There's some classic crime stuff as well. How does she combine all of those different genres?
I mean, it really is just through the sort of layering of her writing. And I think between, so when you meet different characters, then you're sort of drawn into different scenes, and each different scene kind of conveys almost a different genre. And then somehow all combined together, it just sort of, it feels quite neat, like it feels a sort of one story. I mean, you don't really feel like you're jumping around, but you definitely, yeah, you can feel the sort of genre mix, but it's quite subtle. Readers who are coming from sort of literary rather than sort of horror, I don't think that you'd be like put off by it. I think it's just kind of enough of both to, and enough of a thriller and enough of a crime story. I think all of those ingredients like work really, really well. But I think it's through the characters that you inhabit and the different scenes that Mahoney finds himself in that it kind of switches its pace and therefore its tone, whilst, as I said, still being completely coherent as himself.
Himself by Jess Kidd is out now, published by Canongate. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Charmaine Lovegrove. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be looking at this weekend's cinema. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.